budget summary, adoption
of the proposed fiscal year 2023 budget. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of this meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's budget hearing and budget summary, adoption of the proposed fiscal year 2023 budget, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for the hearing. After the adoption of the agenda and appointment of the hearing officer will provide the public evidence or proof of publication of the hearing notice, accept and identify the exhibits, and break down the proposed fiscal year 2023 budget. Then the public will be given the opportunity to provide testimony and statements on the budget hearing and budget summary. We ask that the public not interrupt public input or director's discussion. Thank you. Item three, quorum call.
Bonnet.
Present.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Jack.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Teaser.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Chairman.
Here. Item four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Seconded.
Fred, then I think Tim McCormick. Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Hi.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Item five, proof of publication of today's meeting. I have proof of that, and it will be part of the permanent record of this meeting. Item six, appointment of the hearing officer, General John Winkler, General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next agenda item is the evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice. And agenda item eight is the acceptance and identification of the exhibits. Exhibit one is the agenda itself. Exhibit two is the proof of publication of the hearing notices. The Omaha Rural Herald, September 1st and September 2nd. Exhibit three is the fact sheet for the fiscal year 2023 budget. Exhibit four is the proposed expenditure revenue pie chart.
Exhibit 5 is the budget worksheets, and Exhibit 6 is the resolution to set the property tax request for 2023 and 2000 at $30,185,894.24 with a tax levy of 0.034758 per hundred of assessed valuation. Just go through. Hasn't changed much from the previous versions of the budget. The total requirement this year will be 105,050,485, which is a 4.3% reduction from fiscal year 22. Operating budget 80,135,732, which is a reduction of 6.1% from last fiscal year. Property tax levy 0.034758, which is a 2.5% reduction from last year. Total property tax requirement will be an increase of 5.8%. And the property valued at $100,000 will pay $34.76 per hundred versus last year's $35.67. For comparison, state of Nebraska was a 5.9% increase, Omaha 6.2%, Lincoln 7.4%, Sarpy County 7.0%. And those are the ones that I have the information for. If you'll notice in your packet, there is the pie charts and there is the budget itself. The overall tax levy increase or valuation increase for the district was 8.57%. You'll see the breakout there from Sarpy was 11%, Douglas 7.7%, Washington 7.2%, Dodge 3.0%, Burt 8.4%, Thurston 2.2%, and Dakota County 11.0%. So we stuck with our 5.8%. That's why we get the reduction of 2.55%. Because the valuations obviously came in higher. Out of the last 18 years, 17 of those we've either reduced the mill levy or kept it the same. One year it was raised. So we continue to budget accordingly, methodically, continue to do our projects and programs. I guess our budgets are pretty boring year after year. We kind of continue to do the same thing year after year. So I will be able to ask any specific questions you have after this, but according to the agenda, we need to accept if there's any public comments or testimony on the budget as presented. So I'll open that up.
Thank you, General Manager John Winkler. Any public comments or testimony?
Okay.
Out there at all? No, Lori? Okay.
Second time. I think I have to do this legally. Second time.
Second call.
Third time.
Third call.
Seeing none, if there's any questions, happy to answer them. If not, we can adjourn the public hearing.
Any questions for John? All right, this hearing is adjourned. Thank you. Okay, next up, call to order the Papio Missouri River NRD special hearing to set final tax requests. Once again, a copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of this meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's special hearing to set final tax request, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for the hearing. After the adoption of the agenda and appointment of the hearing officer will provide the public evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice, accept and identify exhibits, and break down the proposed fiscal year 2023 budget. Then the public will be given the opportunity to provide testimony and statements on the property tax request for fiscal year 2023. We ask that the public not interrupt public input or director's discussion. Thank you. Quorum call.
Conley.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Teaser.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Bonnet.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Chairman.
Here. Item 4, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Teaser and Bradley, I think. Roll call.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Chairman.
Yes. Item 5, proof of publication of the hearing notice. I have that, and it will become part of the permanent record of this meeting. Item 6, appointment of hearing officer, General John Winkler, General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 7, evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice. Agenda item 8, acceptance and identification of exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the proof of publication of the hearing notices September 1st and September 2nd in the Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 3 is a fact sheet for the fiscal year 2023 budget. Exhibit 4 is the 2023 proposed expenditure revenue pie charts. Exhibit 5 is the fiscal year 2023 budget worksheets. And Exhibit 6 is a resolution to set the property tax requests for fiscal year 2023 at $30,185,894. And 24 cents with a tax levy of 0.034758 per hundred of assessed valuation. Agenda item 8, or excuse me, that's exceptions and identification of exhibits. Agenda item 9, breakdown of the proposed fiscal year 2023 budget request. I kind of went over that at the last public hearing. One thing I did want to call your attention to, and I think everything is kind of related with perspective, right? If I put it in the front of your packet, here is a Nebraska Department of Education school finances, and you'll probably see in the paper you have several entities that are kind of beating their chest that they only take 12% or 26% of the property tax levy. So we take less than 2. Ours is anywhere from 2 to 1.6% of a person's property tax. I happen to be on the Louisville Public School Board of Education, and I'm on the Finance Committee. And if you look at public schools, I highlighted Douglas County for you just as a reference. So if you look at their general fund, so they have up to $1.05. Now remember, the NRDs are limited by statute to 4.5 cents. So that's the highest we could go, and that's by law. School districts are limited at $1.05 unless they do a levy override. Now, the couple things that always caught my attention is, sometimes we get criticism for bonding. You hear school districts have the ability to bond, but it has to be a vote of the people. So if you look at some districts in our area, and I won't name them specifically, they have 36 cents, 34 cents just for the bond. Now there is a little, I would say, lesser known bonding capability of public schools. It's called qualified, or it's called QCPUF bond. And what that allows, school has up to a 5.5 cents. So it's actually even a cent more than we could even levy totally for our budget. And All it takes is a simple majority of the school board to pass this, and it's a bonding mechanism. And so on top of all the other taxing capability they have, they also have this, which it far exceeds what we could even do in just our normal budgeting. And Phil is aware of this too. So so you'll see some of them at 3.5 cents, 3 cents, 3 cents, which is near what we do for our entire budget. So obviously, the lion's share of the property taxes is consumed by the school districts. And so again, I think we've done a great job over the years of keeping our levy consistent, reducing it when we can, only taking what we need for the operations of the district. So I just thought that you might find that of interest, that there's definitely a lot more property tax capability than we could ever imagine, that things could be cut. Agenda item is the next agenda item is open for public testimony. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide any testimony on the tax levy request? Second request. Third and final. You can adjourn the meeting, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, this hearing is adjourned at 4:11. Next up, Chairman Fred, PPO.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Call the meeting to order of the Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee meeting, September 6, 2022. Notification of Open Meetings Act, posting and announcement of meeting procedure. I think we've had that several times this evening. Item number three, quorum call.
Fowler?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Caesar?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Chairman?
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Got a motion? Second, roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item number five, proof of publication of meeting notice. I have a copy of that. Of tonight's meeting become part of the permanent record. Item number six, urban drainage way interlocal agreements with Papio NRD for cost share programs. Kirk Williams?
Good afternoon, everyone. This is somewhat of a logistics or housekeeping item related to projects that we've discussed a number of times in the past. But in order to help the projects move forward, discussing with our legal counsel, we have some agreements that are recommended to help cost share program projects have certainty about funding over multiple years. So the guidelines for our urban cost share programs specifies that the applications are made in the spring. Those are presented to the Board of Directors for review. Approved projects then are incorporated into the budget. The budget that was just presented did include the projects that were carryovers from past years that are still ongoing, as well as new projects that were recommended this spring. And during this application cycle, specifically, we had a number of urban drainage way projects. That's the largest cost share program by dollar amount. A number of those projects had requested the maximum amount of funding available, which is up to $1.5 million, because the scope of the project and the potential benefit is significant. In order to make sure that the projects that were recommended by the staff for the board to approve in April and that had been included in the budget matched with the funding available, we talked with the project applicants about how to spread out the reimbursement for the projects based on the completion of the work over the next couple of years. In order to do that, so that the cost share project applicants can have certainty that the NRD funding will be available, we have used interlocal agreements to specify the amount of funding and the timeline for the funding on urban drainageway projects and some other projects over recent years. But this year we have more projects that fall into that category. So we have a collection of projects. They are relatively larger projects, again, with significant benefit to the objectives of the district and to the local government agencies within our territory that were reviewed by staff, approved by the board, included in the budget, but which we are now recommending interlocal agreements to spread out that funding over multiple budget years. So the list of the projects, the subject for the item includes the list of all the projects under the Urban Drainage Way Program. And then there is a recommendation, and there will need to be a vote on each individual interlocal agreement on its own. And so, in summary, there are projects from Bellevue, that would be Quail Creek and Whitted Creek. Papillion, that would be the 84th and Valley Road project. Serpy County, the Buffalo Road Channel project. Omaha is the Oakbrook Creek project, and also from Omaha, the Thomas Creek project. Both projects from Bellevue are new projects that applied this year. Papillion had applied last year. They have been going through some of the preliminary design work. They are now moving into the final design and setting a timeline for construction. We had not previously approved an interlocal agreement for multiple years of funding with Papillion, but we're recommending that now. The Sarpy County project, we've talked about a few times over recent years. They had actually reapplied after changing their design significantly, and now they have a good timeline for the project moving forward. So we're recommending the interlocal on that project. The Omaha Oakbrook project was originally applied for in discussion with Omaha about their ability to complete that project. They have requested that that funding be pushed out an additional year, but the project meets all of the program guidelines. So the recommendation is for that interlocal to be approved now, but it does not include any funding in the current budget. It just includes funding in FY 24, 25, and 26. And then lastly, Omaha Thomas Creek. Thomas Creek project had been approved in the past. We have made two reimbursements during the design process so far through challenges in permitting and right-of-way in order to get to the construction of the project. We have surpassed the end of the originally approved interlocal agreement, and so the Thomas Creek recommendation is for an amendment to the existing interlocal agreement to specify our ability to reimburse in a year outside of what was originally agreed. It's not any more money. It is the same amount of money. The design is completed. The permitting is completed. It's just that the construction has taken longer than the City of Omaha had anticipated. So the recommendations are to sign interlocal agreements for each of these projects, specifying funding in FY23, which is already included in the budget, which was just talked about, and then to specify additional funding over upcoming budget years to help us reduce the cost in any particular year and then still meet the needs that the local agencies had applied for. In this discussion, it is possible that during the call for projects next year, we will have, through these interlocal agreements, specified a significant amount of funding over the next couple of years relative to the size of this the Urban Drainageway Program. And so it is possible that we will not call for additional new project applications in the future because we have received good applications that have significant benefit, which are now included in interlocal agreements. And so that's something we will discuss internally when we send out the cost share letter next year. We have included that program in each of the recent years as a program that we would receive applications for. But if we agree to funding multiple large projects over multiple years, it's possible that we will not open a call for projects for the Urban Drainageway Program starting in February of next year, just to avoid having too much additional spending brought in through new project applications. So those are two ways, through the interlocals, spreading funding over multiple years, and potentially not having a new call for projects, two ways in which we are working to keep down the expenses in the Urban Drainageway Program while still delivering successful projects in partnership with the local agencies that are listed here. So if anybody has any questions about any of the specific projects, we have talked about each of these at least once in the past or sometimes multiple times. But the recommendation is for to authorize executing an interlocal agreement in the case of the first five projects or an amendment to the interlocal agreement in the case of Thomas Creek for funding in FY23 and in future years.
So we need a motion on each item?
According to legal counsel, these do need to be voted on independently. And so, yes, there will need to be a motion for each of the items, which is why they're listed separately in the resolution.
We could have a motion on 6A. Is that the Bellevue Quail Creek project?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion regarding that?
I had a question.
Yes.
Just a general question on all these. Like, for instance, the...
First one, Quail Creek, it says we're $1.5 million, we're going to fund $200,000 the first year. Is it basically $200,000 a year until that's paid off, or is it going to vary from year to year?
It will vary year to year. The $200,000 is an anticipation of our reimbursement at roughly the same percentage based on how much of the design work can be completed within the first fiscal year, within our first fiscal year. And so the expected reimbursement schedule is something like $200,000 in the first year, $300,000 in the second year, and then $1 million toward the construction, which we anticipate might take about 3 years to get completed. And so we do increase the reimbursement, mostly because we reimburse only on work that has already been completed. In the first 2 years, we anticipate a majority of the design work and the permitting work and the land rights acquisition, if needed, for each of these projects. And then when the construction occurs, that's where a majority of the expense will occur. And so it is kind of backloaded. And that's why we are anticipating potentially not having an additional call for projects, because by approving these, we know that in FY24, 5, and 6, we will have allocated funding through this program, and so we will not have additional funding available for new projects to be submitted.
Clearly, if we vote yes for this, we're committed for the whole amount, $1.5 million, obviously. And that $1.5 million, how much of a percentage of the entire project is that? How much of the percentage of the project are we funding?
Yeah, so the these projects were submitted under the Urban Drainageway Program guidelines. There's level 1, 2, and 3. I think that all of these are under level 2, which means 60% of the project. In most of these cases, the levels are 40%, 60%, or 75% of the overall project based on the level of environmental sensitivity or natural design used. Projects that have level 2 need to have met certain environmental thresholds, so using natural channel design, demonstrating improvement in water quality and habitat. They need to also apply to the Nebraska Environmental Trust and to the 319 program to seek funding there as well to make sure that others also validate the project as beneficial and then contribute to that as well.
And who determines what level the project is?
The project applicant usually submits under one of the levels. In some cases, we have made a recommendation that was different than what was applied for. So, for example, someone submitted a project that was at the 75% cost share level. They did not submit sufficient documentation of the environmental sensitivity, and we recommended that at the level 1 rather than level 3, the highest cost share percentage. So we did bring that down internally because of the type of design that they had indicated they would use. So we do review that internally prior to the recommendation, which we made in April, for all of these projects, and validate that the project design matches the level of natural conditions that we are looking for in the program.
And finally, who else might be helping to fund it?
Yep. So if you apply for level 1 at 40%, then it can just be the local sponsor and the NRD. If you apply at level 2 or 3, you are required to submit to the Nebraska Environmental Trust and to the 319 program to seek additional funding. You're not required to be approved and get funding there, and those guidelines and approvals have varied at different times in the past. For example, Thomas Creek, the last one on which we're recommending an amendment, was approved for funding from both the Environmental Trust and the 319 program. It's uncertain. I don't think that any of the other projects have yet submitted those applications. So in the first year, the design will move forward sufficiently to submit those applications probably in maybe the spring for the 319 program and next fall for the NET. And so those will occur in the future. But Thomas Creek was the last one to seek Level 2 funding and did receive funding from two other agencies. I did say earlier that we might be contributing 60%. I'm sorry, I think that was incorrect. I believe that all of these projects exceeded the maximum. The cap for our funding is based on the maximum of the program, $1.5 million, not the percentage cap. So I think that the cost of most of these projects is a little closer to $4 or $4.5 million, sometimes even more than that. So our funding is not 60%. It is lower than that. There are two different caps, the dollar cap or the percentage cap. And I believe in all of these cases, it is the dollar cap that is limiting our contribution, not the percentage cap. So it is less than the 60% maximum. It's okay, because it's capped for the dollar amount.
Thank you.
Director Thompson?
Yeah, item 11 of the interlocal identified by the chair for fiscal year.
That's right.
Which we go back to the budget, 521, page 17. Obviously, those are current year, so you're the one keeping track for next year, next year, next year, right?
Yep. Got a table right here that specifies the future year funding.
Yeah. But maybe we saw that in the April application. I don't know.
We had not yet developed the table of projected multi-year funding at the time of the recommendation in April. That occurred during May and June as internal budget work was occurring. And that's what led to a couple of these projects. Actually, it is not recommended to have any funding this year, but that, again, occurred during our internal budgeting process. And if you look at the budget document, you'll see under 521, there's a yellow line. There was a change. In talking with Omaha, Omaha indicated they do not anticipate delivering the Oak Brook project this year. And so we moved that funding from 23 to 24, again, to help bring down our cost now. So we have been making changes based on the best available information after the application and the approval in April through our budgeting process, even up to and including a change in the Omaha project to move it from 23 to 24 to make sure that we aren't spending more than we have available.
Just so we know, if we approve this, it carried for the next three, sometimes four fiscal years, that we're kind of locked in.
That's right. And again, we have reviewed the potential funding availability to make sure that we don't bring in new projects and exceed what we can contribute at the time, because we know that this allocation of funding to projects, quite frankly, I have talked with all of these applicants about these locations for several years, and so we have known these projects were coming. This happens to be the year when a bunch of them submitted applications simultaneously, and in order to both spread that out and still meet the needs, we came up with this recommendation of interlocal agreements and then probably not a call for projects next year.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Reeser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. 6B, Bellevue Whittet Creek. We can have a motion on this item.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to it?
Just one additional comment. There are some variances in these. This one, as you'll see in the recommendation, does not include any funding in 23, so it is not in the budget now. The recommendation is for the first funding to occur in 24, and so that's why it is recommended now for the interlocal, but specifies funding in future years, and it is not included in the current budget. That is intentional.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments from the directors on this item? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item 6C, Papillion 84th and Valley Road. We can have a motion on this item.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item number D, Sarpy County Buffalo Road Channel. We can have a motion on this item.
I'll motion.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Omaha Oak Brook Creek. Have a motion on this item?
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Eric?
Again, this one does not include any funding in 2023. They applied this year. Since then, Omaha has indicated that they do not anticipate delivering the project this year, but it's a good project, and so the recommendation is to include funding in 2024. So we are aware that it is not included in the budget now. That change was made since last month, and that's reflected in the updated budget that was presented earlier.
Okay. Directors? Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item 6F, Omaha Thomas Creek. We can have a motion on this item.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eric, can you remind us on Thomas Creek, do you know where the work locale that they were looking to do on Thomas Creek?
Yep, just downstream of Interstate 680 to the southeast, just before Thomas Creek meets up with the Little Papio Creek. Okay. There are several industrial businesses there, a landscaping company, kind of right by the upstream of the ball fields.
Okay, thank you.
And One additional comment. This is the amendment to an existing interlocal agreement. We have made two reimbursements for the design phase. Omaha has completed the design. They have been approved for their permit. They are working on land rights acquisition, and so the only remaining reimbursement here is for the construction portion. So this is amending the timeline that we had previously agreed to provide that construction reimbursement, because the previous agreement specified it must be in fiscal year, a previous fiscal year. This now says that it will be no earlier than 23. We anticipate that Omaha should probably be doing construction beginning next year, but this will clarify that we will make the reimbursement. We will not let the clock run out and then not reimburse them at the end of the project. That's the intention of the agreement here.
Thank you. Any other questions by directors? Roll call.
Johnston?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Teason?
Yes.
Chair?
Aye. Thanks, Eric. Item number 7, Trails Assistant Interlocal Agreements with PMRNRD for Cost Share Programs. Eric Williams.
Yeah, so similar to the Urban Drainage Way Program, there are two projects under the Trails Assistance Program that also are expected to stretch multiple years. So very similar situation. We want to make sure that we provide certainty to the local agency applying for the cost share. Both of these have been recommended and approved into the budget, and so this is a mechanism of providing that certainty over multiple years. The first one is to the City of La Vista for Applewood Creek Trail Project. They are both federal aid projects. The Applewood Creek project has been in process for a number of years. It is currently under construction. If you are headed east or west on Giles, just east of 108th Street, they are in the process of cutting down to the existing culvert to put a trail underpass. So this will connect neighborhoods on the north side of Giles down toward the West Papio Creek. And so this is in project under construction right now. It is possible this project will be completed in the spring, but we think that there will likely still be some completion, some work finishing up after June 1st when the reimbursement is due, which is why we're recommending an interlocal to specify the ability to reimburse after 2023. But the project is in process right now. It's coming along well. It's a great addition to the system. We're very glad it's moved this far forward. So this is on a project that is in process right now. The second project is from the City of Omaha, the North Downtown Pedestrian Bridge, as it was called in the application, sometimes referred to as the Baby Bob Bridge. This is the extension of the existing Bob Carey Bridge east from the river over the railroad tracks, under the transmission lines, and landing on the north side of the CHI Quest CenturyLink place, CHI place now. Name keeps changing. On the north side of the event center, in the parking lot down toward 10th Street. This is also a federal aid project. It has been in process for a number of years. Our contribution to this project is based on the general guidelines of an 80% federally funded project with 20% local share, 10% to the local sponsor, and 10% to the NRD. The cost of this project is quite high because of the complexity and span of the bridge over the railroad. So this is recommending an interlocal specifying 3 years of reimbursement, but in line with something like 10% of the overall project cost, with other funding coming from both the City of Omaha, federal funding, and I believe there's also philanthropic support for this project. And I don't have a construction timeline on this one, but they have been in process with design and permitting for a while, so we are hoping that they are moving to construction soon.
Okay.
So, again, these are similar to the other ones. Both are federal aid projects. That does mean the process takes a while, which is why we're recommending the interlocals, so they can continue, and we can reimburse at the appropriate time.
And we need to vote each one upon each one.
Yes.
7A, we have a motion of this, the Applewood Creek Trail.
Move to staff recommendation.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Good question.
Good.
Eric, you may have just said this, but the Applewood Creek Trail, is that the work being done right now on about 90th and Giles?
A little further west, closer to about 101st.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Thank you.
I think there's other work in other parts. But,
so that's going to be a trail underneath there?
That's right. There's an existing culvert on the creek going under Giles, and they are, I believe they thought about tunneling, but they are doing open cut from the surface of the road about 25 feet down to the creek. They will upgrade the existing stream culvert to also include capacity for a full trail culvert next to the stream. So water will still pass, but there will also be an underpass crossing for the trail. There is an existing trail on the north side of Giles,
right,
and a trail on the south side of Giles, but the only way across is mid-block with no signal. So it's an unsafe crossing for anyone who lives on either side of Giles. This is part of a larger regional system pointing down Applewood Creek toward the West Papio Trail, which we built, which is very popular and successful. And so we hope to then connect from Applewood Creek down to the West Papio Trail. The NRD is in the process of studying that. So again, this is one of a number of projects, all on an alignment that we have looked at for a number of years, and in an area that a number of people have asked us to deliver these projects. So it's a very popular project.
All right, so it's not being done because that area dams up water, per se, this is a trail project.
That's right, yep.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions by directors? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Deezer?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item 7B, Omaha North, Omaha North Downtown Pedestrian Bridge, Baby Bob. We have a motion on this item.
Move.
A motion?
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I have one question.
Director?
How big is this bridge? How long is it?
Sorry, I don't know the span. I think it's a few hundred feet. Again, it's an elevated connection from the Pig Curly Q on our side of the river. It goes over the railroad and then lands down, so there will be kind of an elevated approach section. I think the span is a few hundred feet, and then it's several hundred more feet as it comes down kind of into the parking lot and meets into 10th Street. So similarly to other bridge projects, the cost to make the span over a railroad is very high. That's why it's a high-dollar project. But it also then has high impact because there's no other way to get across from one side to the other. I think it's a few hundred feet in the span and then several hundred more feet on the
trail. Did I hear you say our contribution is about 10% of the total cost of the project, you thought?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Director Bradley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess to ensure that we have signage or whatever sign is there, that we have the NRD stamp there to say we contributed, because this is a big deal for down around there. And I say this because we were assured that we were going to have that for the signage around Lake Cunningham, and that didn't happen.
For the trail project? Or
well, for whatever, our little contribution, even for a small building that was done, Brook Bench was up here saying this or that, and then we were going to, and it didn't happen. Of course, that's in my district. But for this one, just make sure, because there's going to be, and if you haven't seen what they've done downtown so far from the W. Dale Clark, I mean, get down there, check it out. It's pretty nice, but it's going to start really growing, and it's really, good deal.
So a couple points. John reports that there is signage now at Cunningham. I haven't been there in a little while. We'll check back into that. We did cost share on, two different projects there in the past, mm-hmm. but I'll verify about the signage. That is a requirement for our cost share projects, specifically those where people will visit them. Some of the bank stabilization, we don't necessarily require a sign, but on the recreation projects, we do. So I'll look into that and verify.
Please
that.
Please do. Thank you.
And to the support of the NRD, there is a shovel and a photo on the wall out there from when we participated in the original Bob Carey Bridge project. It was very successful. It's widely loved. And so this is continuing the work that we have done there in the past in alignment with our recreation, focus on natural resources and connectivity. So I anticipate a similar level of support for this project, and we will most certainly be at the ribbon cutting and well understood to have been a strong supporter of the project when this is presented to the public.
Director Tom?
I'd like to add to that. There currently is signage on the Bob Carey Bridge identifying all the contributors to that. Now, I don't know if they'll put more plaques along the Baby Bob, because all the signage is on over the water. But I wouldn't surprise me if they don't duplicate further signage on the Baby Bob. So just be prepared.
Yep, I think we will look to that, because this is technically a separate project, so we will encourage additional signage probably at the 10th Street location.
Yeah, I'm not saying we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Deezer?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Thank you, Eric. Item number 8, amendment to the interlocal agreement with Sarpy County Pavilion for WP 6 and WP 7. Amanda?
Hi, good afternoon. So this is amendment 2 to the interlocal agreement that we started in 2018 with the City of Papillion and Sarpy County. This is for Portal Lake and Big Elk Lake. In the process of transferring over those projects and going through the documents, the City of Papillion attorneys noticed that when we started all this, there was a section of Cornhusker Road that was owned by Papillion, was still owned by Sarpy County, but has since been annexed. So how we had it divided up in the interlocal agreement isn't how it is today. So they suggested a couple of items that we include in Amendment 2 to the interlocal, one of which is clarifying that part of the road has been annexed by the city of Papillion, and the second is just to clarify that the mitigation site, which is the wetland mitigation, would be maintained by the district, which was our intent all along. We're just clarifying in a second amendment. And this kind of cleans up that interlocal agreement, and they're officially transferred to Papillion.
We can have a staff recommendation. Move staff recommendation. Ms. Ida?
I'll move for staff recommendation.
Any comments from the public on the item? Directors? Director Thompson?
Is it W6 main something now?
It's Portal. Portal Recreation Area.
Lame. Well, I guess we should put that in. Because since we did put Big Lake in parentheses.
Big Elk.
They're Big Elk.
Yeah, you know, in 2018, the interlocal still said 6 and 7.
The record,
76
is now Portal Recreation Area.
Mm-hmm.
The lake doesn't have a name.
Roll call.
Caesar?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Thank you, Amanda. Item number 9, Contract Amendment 2 with HDR for Flanagan Wetland Monitoring. Orlesta?
Hi. Good afternoon. When we finished up construction for Dam Site 15A, we signed a contract with HDR to do 3 years of monitoring. When we impact wetlands and streams during the construction of our projects, we're required by the Corps of Engineers to then mitigate those wetlands. In this instance, we had 6.8 acres of what they call emerging wetlands, and that's what you would typically think with the cattails and the plants, and 7.2 acres of forested wetlands, which have been established much longer and actually have trees growing in them. And we are then required to monitor these mitigation sites to make sure that they grow to meet these requirements. We are required to monitor emerging wetlands for 5 years, and forested wetlands for 10 years. So in 2018, we signed that contract with HDR, and at that time it was for 3 years of monitoring. Once they finished the 3 years, there were still funds left over, so we signed a no-cost amendment with them to do an additional year of monitoring. So we still have 1 year of emerging wetland monitoring and 5 years, or 6 years of forested wetland monitoring. So they prepared a second amendment for a contract in the amount of $49,727. The total contract not exceed $73,988. And I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Laura. We're going to have a motion on this item. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
One quick question. Who receives the results of this monitoring? You or?
Yes. So they send the report to me, and then we forward it on to the Corps of Engineers each year. We have to send it in by December 1st.
How often do you get a report from HDR?
Once a year.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments from directors? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. That completes my report, Mr. Chairman.
The time is 4:43. We'll call the FEL subcommittee to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the rear of the rear of the room with that quorum call.
Brett?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
And Chairman?
Here. Adoption agenda.
So move.
Second.
Roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. Proof of publication of the meeting. I have it before me. It'll be part of the official record. Item 6, PMRD 2023 Tax Levy and Adoption of Budget. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've gone over anything unless or everything unless there's a question.
Motion?
Moved.
Second.
Discussion from the public? Directors? Why not roll call?
I think you might have somebody come in right here.
Oh. No, he's not.
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. Item 7, vacation of dam site 8A easement. Of course, we all hope the dam site has a nice vacation. And go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. So, yeah, this item is relating to an access easement to the proposed dam site 8A. As a reminder to the board and to the public, dam site 8A, this land and the access easement were acquired in 2006 by the district. And if we go down to the exhibit that was attached to this memo, you get an idea of the location of this dam site. It's near 144th Street and State Highway 36. And I'll just wait a second until we get down there just so you guys have an idea of where we're talking about here. So this is a 2004 concept of the dam footprint, and the area that we're concerned with is a little further down. If we scroll down just a bit further here, that red highlighted area there, we have an access easement that is adjacent to State Highway 36 to the northwest of the site. So this easement provides access, but it's also going to be impacting planned lots for a residential development. So the engineer of that development has reached out and proposed a new access easement. And if we go down to the second exhibit, we can get an idea of what he is proposing. So our current easement is to the north of this diagram, provides access along State Highway 36 there, adjacent to State Highway 36. It impacts there. You can see lots 20, 21, and 22. So the engineer is proposing a new easement down to the southeast here. You can see that curved road that provides access along the district property. That easement has been reviewed, the slopes, the width, and the radius of the turn, and has been found sufficient. So we recommend vacating a portion of the easement to the north and adopting the access easement there to the southeast. Do you have any questions?
Is there a motion on the floor, please?
So move.
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Directors? Director Depp.
How much land does the NRD have in this area?
I'm not sure the exact acreage.
Just that parcel. The whole dam site is just that parcel. It must have been something that was going on with the development in 2006 where they knew we'd need part of it, so we acquired it.
Okay. That's like, I didn't know we had land there, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Director Thompson?
I assume this is a no-cost.
Yes.
Other questions? Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. Item 8, Union Dyke Improvement Project Area Residential Funds. Martin Cleveland.
Good afternoon. Once again, so that's good. Union Dyke, as you know, has been with the district a long time. Took it over in 1975, and in the late 80s, the district improved the project with funding from local benefited area. So the cost share was actually contributed 90% of the cost of $1.9 million. At the time, there was a 10-year cycle in which people could pay off their assessments. That included Douglas County and also Dodge County, which is the north end of the project up near Fremont. And so recently, the county came to actually Cary and said, hey, we got some extra money left over from this assessment that was never given to the district. So what do you want to do with it? And they'd actually, of course, obviously like to give it to the district as it should be. So this motion is basically to have the general manager instruct Dodge County the residual funds of $1,500.1517.60 be assumed by the district and then be put in the general fund. And so basically cleaning up assessments which have dated back to the 90s. And so it would have been actually the assessment period was 91 through 2001. So It's very old, 20-some years old, but it's obviously the right thing to do for the district and for the county. So feel free to ask any questions you may have about this and try to clear up any questions you may have.
Yes. This just basically cleans us up. There's no special instructions on what that $1,500 needs to be used for, is there?
No, it's just going to go to general fund. So basically, the reserves that you have for doing everything you do. So won't be going back to Union Dyke, for example. Okay. That fund will just be going to general fund. So any other questions?
Can motion refer, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Staff? And roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. Items 9 and 10, I'd like to go into executive session. Can we get a motion, please?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes, and that. Thank you. Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. Item 9, no name high ground easement purchase. Can we get a motion, please?
With staff recommendation.
Second.
Second.
Discussion from general public. Discussion from directors. Staff. Any none, roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. Thank you. Item 10, land acquisition, dam site 12. Do we get a motion?
Move for staff recommendation.
Second.
Larry? Thank you. Discussion from general public? Questions? Staff?
I have one question. Ted? That $1.8 million, how's that going to be paid for?
Watershed fund.
Any further questions? Roll call.
McCormick? Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. That concludes our agenda. We stand adjourned.